Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Back here. Clearly, I sound disgusted right now. We're back here in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. And maybe they can, I don't know, do some cleansing your way.
On Twitter, Dean Steiner, a big listener, he tweeted at me during that last segment when you guys were being haters and said, "Why are Mike and Tiff hating on you so much the last couple of days?" And I responded.
It's irrational.
And I just said, apparently in this room.
Is that what he said? Why are they hating on you?
Yeah.
Why are we hating on you?
I said, well,
you?
Apparently in this room, free thinking is a no-no.
Free thinker. What was the free thinking part
the
of
the fact
you being...
that I just want to know why that he was the only person. Who else was there?
Hey, I
want to know
who else was there. You can't say, I understand, and then...
My point is, I understand the faculty pass rush, but
just
they're
trying
not the
to
only
debate
so,
something for no reason.
So tell me who else was there,
and then you right, yell. Right, that's what
me,
you resort to.
Let me do
to.
This exercise.
I don't yell; my voice carries. It's a known fact.
Let me just do this exercise real quick with you.
You can do your own exercises.
Listen.
I'm going to Tony Pauline's Twitter right now and see if he reported anybody else that was there.
You didn't check before you just got outraged.
No.
Like, you just got outraged 5 minutes ago. You didn't even look at his Twitter feed?
Facts don't matter to free thinkers.
Oh, no. Oh my gosh.
That's the only person you reported
on. All right, let me ask you this. It was noted that Brian Callahan was at Cam Ward's pro day yesterday.
And
what other head
coaches
were there?
Exactly.
Who was there?
That was going to be my other
Brian Callahan.
Brian Callahan.
Was that Cam Ward's pro day yesterday?
That's right. And so was the whole conglomerate of Titans people, apparently.
Yeah.
They kind of did what we did at Flyer Brandt.
It's weird because it seems like the Titans were talked about being there more than anybody else.
What's really weird is that they need a quarterback.
Well, hold on. But
they've been tied to quarterbacks.
Here's the deal, though. Like,
strange.
Cam Ward said, "I told them, as in the Titans, that I'm solidifying it today. They finally got to see me throw in per." So, see, Cam Ward is on paper and in the print and in on record talking that about what he talked about to the Titans. That is that, and they have the number one overall pick. It's a little bit different with a team like the Falcons, who are a wild card in the draft already. They haven't taken an edge rusher in years. There's no guarantee they'll take one this year. Y'all gonna look silly when Malachi Starks is sitting here, and that's who they took.
Two things aren't connected.
I'm just saying it is different.
Do we know if there were any other head coaches at Miami's pro day?
Yeah, I'm sure there were. Maybe they just weren't. But so again, while we're and let's see.
So you're saying because Cam Ward said his quote that it doesn't matter.
It's a little bit different it's a little bit different with the quarterback position and the fact that they have the number one pick, and he's the guy that has been in most mock drafts around the world as the number one pick. He's going to be it.
So let me ask you a question.
It's a little bit different when it's the 15th pick, and the only person that I hear reported is a head coach from the Falcons.
So let me ask you this.
But we don't know.
Do you remember what happened last year at the? You remember what happened last year at the draft? With the Falcons?
Yeah, they picked Michael Penix.
Do you remember the shockwave that went through all the headlines and all that stuff because a lot of people thought it's going to be a pass rusher, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you can draw that, if you can understand that, then you can understand why it is making headlines and why it was relevant that Raheem Morris was at a pass rusher's pro day.
But again,
it wasn't even a headline, though.
But the thing is, it was
just Tony Pauline making a note of it.
I understand, but you go back. So the Falcons haven't taken a defensive player since what? Tack? Was Tack McKinley the last defensive player?
AJ Terrell.
The first round. AJ Terrell. Yes, AJ Terrell in 20 was the last defensive player. They've needed edge rush every one of those years. And they've taken other guys. And and guess what? And they haven't taken them.
I know.
Which
makes it notable.
No, it doesn't. It was notable last year, and they didn't take one. It means nothing. That's what I'm telling you.
Positive that if he was at a pro day and he was the only head coach at a pro day, they would tweet that he was there at a pro day.
Guys, it doesn't mean anything where they were at. They went and watched other players work out, too. Doesn't mean they won't take one of those.
Can't breathe.
Doesn't.
I mean, I'm just saying. You know?
Two things.
I just want to know why it was the only coach reported.
Because maybe he was
the only
one there. The only
coach reported was Raheem Morris.
Do you know if there's any other coaches there?
So only one person showed up to Mike Green's pro day as
head
coach?
Maybe, yeah.
I find that hard to believe. Hard to believe.
I genuinely did not see any other news of any other head coach being at Cam Ward's pro day.
Well, that's because the Titans have the first pick. That's the headline. That's the story. It's a little bit different when you're 15.
I'm done.
And you don't even know you'll be there. Or you don't even know you'll be drafted there.
I give up.
I just asked who else was there, and it really ruffled y'all's feathers because I'm not allowed to think outside the box in this room.
Outside
the box?
You guys are just.
You're just talking in circles now until you wear us out. You're like the small, lightweight boxer that's just going around in circles trying to wear out the big guy in the middle.
Only because y'all are making a big deal because I said, why is he the only person reported? There are other people that were there.
No, you
can't stand it. I question, things.
What are you questioning?
This is questioning why he was the only person reported.
I think
there's so many layers.
I think at this point, Bo might be doing a little bit of what the youth call rage baiting.
Yeah. I've never
heard of that.
Which is why.
Is that the new term for gaslighting?
It's probably the same thing.
It's the same ballpark.
In all seriousness, I saw something on Twitter the other day that if my kid ever does it, I will kick them out of the house at 6 years old. This kid walked with a bowl, a glass bowl to his dad. I don't know why they were filming this. It must have just been for the thing. And he said, this bowl won't break. And the dad was like, yeah, it will. Don't drop it. And they went back and forth for like 20 seconds.
I saw that.
And the kid said, watch, it won't break. And he just drops it and the thing shatters. And the kid goes, why didn't you catch it? And he goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, you said it wouldn't break. And he said, yeah, I said it wouldn't break because you were supposed to catch it. Why would you let your kid throw a piece of glass bowl on the floor?
Now
and then he gaslit the dad. Boy, that'd have been a hickory, that kid's. I'd have got a switch out on him. That's gaslighting.
That is A1.
I just asked why he was the only person, and you guys got very upset about it because y'all are not free thinkers like me.
And that is rage baiting.
Next topic.
And this is what people like you do to try to seem in control.
What do you mean, people like me?
That's all I'm alone.
What does that mean?
So,
rage baiters.
Free thinkers, Tiffany?
Per Sports Illustrated, which our friend of the show, Albert Breer.
Another free thinker. I like him.
Wonder if he tweeted that Raheem was there.
Yeah. He had a number of headlines that he tweeted about in his write-up for MMQB. So you can take your pick and be mad at one of them in case he singled anybody out. Oh, look, he talked about Kirk Cousins. And he says that Cousins is planning to wait until after the NFL draft to facilitate a trade for the Falcons. And the reason being, patient is that the 37-year-old quarterback wants to find a team where he can start and not have a rookie waiting in the wings to take the job.
This is, you know, it's funny is because it's kind of what why he left Minnesota. And we knew it was noted. I do think that Mike's right. I think this is his agent. I think it's good business by his agent in a lot of ways because you're keeping your guy in the news and you're trying to get the best situation for them. But I also think that it a little bit of it to me, and maybe it's the free thinker or the conspiracy theorist, but I do think that part of his problems last year, late in the season, were more about that when he comes out, he has a bad game against Denver, a bad game against the Chargers, and now all of a sudden he's in his own head and he starts forcing stuff. And I think that's because he knew that the writing was on the wall, that Michael Penix was right there waiting. And then you go to the Raiders game, and it wasn't injury of why he was bad in the Raiders game. It was decision-making, a lot of decision-making. And so I'm not saying that it mentally broke him, but I'm telling you that there was a definitely a mental thing there as far as his confidence and having a guy in the wings that sometimes can make you press and play outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, I'm fully bought into the thought process that Kirk Cousins knew that there was pressure from behind him. I'm also, I think, with you on this. So, you know, could put one in my category for free thinkers, I guess, that, you know, that I don't think that a lot of Kirk's what did we say the ratio was? 18 to 17? 18 to 16?
16.
I mean, so, like, my thing with Kirk is, like, you were that hurt to where it just started affecting your mind and you started throwing into traffic? Can we cross that bridge a little bit, too? Because if you're hurt and you know you can't throw the ball well, why are you throwing into double coverage and throwing the ball across the middle and throwing into traffic? These weren't, for the most part, tipped ball interceptions. These were bad decisions. Mm-hmm. And if you know that you're hurt and you're getting treatment in your shoulder or your ribs or whatever else, then to me, it almost becomes more frustrating than it's like, oh, I can do this. Oh, God, it's going back the other way. And like, I don't know. A lot of this, like I said, a lot of this is agent-driven at this point. I am so tired of talking about Kirk Cousins. I am ready to start to build up to Michael Penix and everything else. And that's kind of where I sit on it, man. It's just frustrating.
From y'all's interaction with players and the locker rooms and reporting and all this kind of stuff, that's why when people say, well, the locker room won't accept him, that's not really true because everybody in that locker room, am I wrong that everybody in that locker room understands that this is the business part of it and that this is his agent, just like they would expect their agent to be saying and doing similar things? That is how that particular agent is working for Kirk.
I guess it depends on the locker room. And look, if I'm looking at it, take the Steelers, for example, and what was it, Cam Hayward? Obviously, Aaron Rodgers isn't in their locker room, but he kind of talked about how they're tired of, you know, waiting to see what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. So it depends on the locker room, whether those guys are going to be maybe a little more open about what the situation is. But I think more times than not, you see guys not talking about other guys' is like situations with their contracts because they feel like that's not their place. That's somebody else's pockets. They're going to stay out of it.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you wholeheartedly. And I don't know. I this whole thing, and every time a piece of news comes out about Kirk Cousins, I wonder how the locker room react. And then I remember that it's got to be the agent talking. And again, I don't mind that Kirk Cousins fully trusts his agent. I'm just tired of it being every 5 days some kind of snippet comes out about not attending or denying no trade or trying to put the ball back in his court, because I don't think the ball's in his court at all. And I'm sure he wants it to be, and I'm sure the Arthur Blank meeting news gets leaked at certain times and everything else, but I'm over the agent at this point, man. I'm ready to move on from the guy.
All right, well, let's move on from this segment. When we come back here, TGL, the final's going on, and Atlanta Drive's taking a 1-0 lead. We'll tell you what's working for them next here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the morning shift, this hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. So the Atlanta Drive taking a 1-0 lead in the TGL Finals against New York. They won 6-5 yesterday, and they will play again tonight. Best of three series.
I thought it was a lot of fun watching and, you know, kind of finishing the highlights this morning and watching how that all played out. A little bit of drama, the hammer throws and things like that. I know that the rules have been changed a little bit, but like Tiff said, best of three series. They'll be back at it tonight. I can't say this enough, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, the ability to get to know the personalities of these guys involved in these teams and in these tournaments and seeing their interactions with teammates, but also, you know, seeing Justin Thomas walk out in the green and drop the flag for the hammer throw and the drama that comes with that. It felt like a final. It really did feel like a final. And I know this is the inaugural season of this league, and you know, it's been on the peripheral for some people in this town, but it felt like a big event. And in a time in sports when we talk about making things big events, this is a talk in a lot of leagues, a lot of sports about postseasons and tournaments and things like that. Watching this last night felt like a big event, and it definitely paid off in the way that the guys performed.
I think one of the things for me is just the personalities and seeing the competitive drive and trash talk that they kind of do, and they're playing a little. There is some games play with how they're throwing the hammer and when they're throwing the hammer and how it's executed. Yeah, match two is tonight, but if New York wins, they will play match three pretty much right after at 9 o'clock tonight. So it'll all be decided tonight, and hopefully Billy Horschel and Cantlay and Justin Thomas and these guys are holding up a trophy at the end, because I mean it'd be pretty cool if Atlanta wins the first one, because we've all, like me and all my guys in my golf group, we've watched it from like afar. And you know, it's been a conversation on group text. I haven't learned all the rules.
Yes.
With the hammer throw and when you know, how it goes. And I know you only have so many, and
right,
you cannot accept it if you're the other team. But it's still been something that has been on, and we've been able to watch. I also love the facilities that they're doing.
I was going to say, it's really well done. Like, that's been one of the most impressive parts of the entire thing. The facility is extremely nice, but even the production value of it, of hitting off grass, you know, having this gigantic screen, obviously, you're hitting into, and then when you do hit the green, the light that shines on the actual green in the venue, it's so well done. Like, it's so cool. And, of course, this will be a format that grows. And I know that, you know, this type of thing has become a bigger and bigger deal, you know, especially when weather doesn't allow you to play golf. But I think this will only grow and continue to kind of fine-tune what the format is and expand from there.
Yeah, you're able to do these events with the tournaments even going on. And I think it's just part of what you expect from Tiger Woods, Rory, you know, two guys that don't have the words failure associated with their names very often. Not to mention you got guys like Arthur Blank. I believe Robert Kraft is bought into this. So these are guys that they're successful. They know what they're doing. So it's cool because it has clearly been well thought out and so far seemingly well executed.
All right, let's get some NFL headlines. We're going in the huddle. The Heisman Trophy finalist Cam Ward had his pro day the other day. He worked out in front of more than 90 NFL team staffers, but only the Tennessee Titans were really highlighted in this one. And Ward said, "I'm solidifying it today. They finally got to see me throw in person. That should be all they need to see. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be happy whatever team I go to. I'm just trying to play football." Let's take a listen.
"Everybody gave me crap. They said I said
not only showing them, but every other team just throwing on rhythm, whether it's three steps on rhythm, five steps on rhythm for under in the gun, heavy play action, you know, gun five with movement outside the pocket, just showing them all, you know, under center stuff that I didn't get to show as much during the season, letting them know that I'm capable of it. Because at the end of the day, the NFL is not playing under center all the time. They're in the gun, but you got to be able to do it. And so that was the main focus for me. And then other than that, just making it all about my receivers, trying to throw them catchable balls, make sure not have balls hit the ground. We had a couple. But at the end of the day, you ain't going to be perfect. You always got stuff to get better at."
Yeah, and obviously Titans highlighted because they had the first overall pick. Sound like it's the middle of the draft pick. And he's probably going to be one of the top three players, and he's definitely the top quarterback on the board. And look, I like the fact that he basically walked over and pointed at the Titans and was like, I'm going to show you today why you can't skip me. You can't not pick me. And if you believe, are we all under the agreement or the kind of assumption that as it sits today, he's the top quarterback prospect? I mean,
I don't think it's close.
Yeah.
I personally don't think it's close.
So if you would think in year two, the Will Levis experiment's kind of dead in Tennessee, right after a couple years. I mean,
that's pretty evident.
And an offensive coach, I think it makes a lot of sense for them. Now, again, if you're Brian Callahan and you know that you can not have a good season this year and still be there next year to pick and take that risk, then go ahead. If not, I got Kirk Cousins I can trade you. But I think everything lines up to making sense for Tennessee.
Yeah, and look, man, I think that for me, he's far and away the best prospect. I think you can poke holes in just about everybody else in terms of what they were not able to do. And I love that he's got that kind of cocky confidence in this pro day to walk over and kind of point at them and go, yeah, hey, take that.
We've suddenly turned this into the Remember the Titans moment where he walks over and points at the other head coach. That's kind of what I'm envisioning, except for that was a pro day. He just pointed at Brian Callahan.
It makes a lot of sense all the way around. I know that they signed, who did they sign? Brandon Allen, I think, is one of the who they signed earlier in the offseason. So, yeah, I think the Will Levis experiment is over. I think the Titans kind of holding that card of being the number one overall pick, the contingent being there, Brian Callahan being in attendance watching it, and obviously I just love the part, though. Can we dive into this for one second? I just love the part where he's like, in the NFL, you got to be able to go under center when needed. Like, Kirk Cousins, hey, do you hear that? You got to be able to go under center when needed so we're not always going out of the pistol and things like that and struggling to get to the handoff point and Bijan Robinson on a wide zone. All right, I'll move on.
That's it? Okay, moving on to the LA Rams with Puka Nacua. He's 23 years old, but he gave a number as to at which he would like to be able to retire. Let's take a listen to what he had to say on the Join the Lobby podcast.
I want to retire at the age of 30. I'm 23 right now. I'm going into year three. I think of Aaron Donald to go out at the top. I think it would be super cool, but then also be like, I want to have a big family. Just like I want to have at least a starting five. I'm like, I came from a big family.
Oh, so
I need five boys. I need five boys for sure.
That's cool.
But also be like, man, I want to be able to be a part of their lives and be as active as I can with them. So I'm like, I don't want to be, the injuries are something that you can't control part of the game. So you never know. Hopefully the rest of your career go healthy. But you have shoulder surgery, you have knee surgery, you have ankle, and be like, by the time my kids could be 18, I'm like, I could be barely walking if I if you play the game and you sustain all the injuries. But I want to retire early.
That's a good perspective from a young player who has been able to kind of lean on some of the veterans of that team that used to be on the team. You heard him cite Aaron Donald. And I got to sit down with Aaron Donald during our meetings going into his final year when I had a Rams game, and just listening to him light up about the Super Bowl moment that he had with his kids, with the confetti falling all around them, and how special that was and how important his family was to him. Being one of the big reasons why, he felt he had accomplished all he could accomplish, which he certainly did, and felt that it was time to step away. So you look at a talent like Puka, who obviously has dealt with a number of injuries, but still incredibly talented, and for them to even find, be able to find him, right, and draft that kind of guy, I think he's got a good head on his shoulders.
I would dare to say that we'll see more. Now, I don't think Puka is a result of this, but I as the NIL era continues, you'll probably see more of the guys come out with $10 million in the bank already.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the way football is structured, where you have to be 3 years in college, and some of these guys are getting paid literally right out of high school. I mean, just to sign with these teams, I think you could see a lot more of these guys saying, 10 years in, I've made $75-80 million. I've, maybe a lot of them more. I've invested, and, I don't have to play till I'm 40.
It is interesting, too, because, and I think the Aaron Donald part of it makes a lot of sense, and I think Aaron Donald was smart to walk away. There's also, though, the, Cooper Kupp part of this, where Cooper, gets, put on the trade block, and he's like, I'm just peaking. I'm still going. And Matthew Stafford reportedly, the Raiders interest and all that, and Matthew Stafford comes back on a big contract and is going to play till he's, old, 40 years old. So, Well, I think it's up to each individual to make those decisions, and I understand why he does it. And so I think that as he, you know, continues to go along that track, that, you know, he's got to do what's best for himself.
Yeah, nothing's wrong with either either way you choose to do it. I just think it's interesting to hear that perspective from a 23-year-old who's already thinking about maybe the long term. I think it's what a lot of athletes do eventually have to think about, right? Your long term health from playing a game that's so physical. All right, when we come back here on the morning shift, we'll get you caught up on the Braves and Cubs yesterday as we inch closer to opening day on Thursday, and we got them mic'd up.
Yeah, have you guys ever been to a nice restaurant and did or said something that made you look so out of place? I did it on Saturday. I'll tell you what I said to our waiter. It made me feel like I was in the wrong spot. That'll be all mic'd up coming back on the other side. It's the morning shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Back here on the morning shift and the Braves having a big one yesterday in their Grapefruit League game against the Cubs. Matt Olson, Marcell Ozuna, Ozzie Albies, they all hit home runs, and they went on to win 13-4. Braves with 16 total hits in the game.
Taters, Tiff, Yickities, obviously out there in Mesa, Arizona, out in Phoenix on their way to San Diego, going to knock out a couple of games, and I can't tell you. It gives me the warm fuzzies to know that the bats are heating up at the right time as we head towards the season. I said this before the Hawks, and I mean it to a much lesser degree about the Braves, because the Braves have been so much better in recent history and recent memory. But when we were heading into the Hawks season, I was like, man, I'm ready to be hurt again. Like, bring it to me. I'm ready to be hurt again. This is obviously not the same storyline when you talk about the Braves. I'm ready for the Braves to be healthy. I'm ready for the Braves players that we know and love to be able to take the field on a daily basis and watch this star-studded team actually be able to develop their own personality in the 25 season. And so I think looking at the lineup yesterday and looking at the output that you get out in Mesa, Arizona, it lends me to believe that they're headed that direction. And it lends me to believe that Ozzie Albies is not going to have the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, and that you are going to get a year from Spencer Schwellenbach that's going to make you really, really proud. And Marcell Ozuna is going to continue the uptick that he started a year and a half ago. So, yeah, I'm stoked about it. I'm ready to be excited for this lineup to take the field on a nightly basis starting Thursday.
I was reading an article on The Athletic. It was basically, hey, what does each team need to do to make the playoffs? And every team in Major League Baseball, it's great. It just says a healthier season. For the Braves.
Yeah.
It should push Atlanta back into the mid-90s in wins. But you're going to need help for that, too. You're going to need, you know, A.J. Smith-Shawver, who I think is fully capable of doing it. Now, as far as, physical, like having the physical part and having the tools and having the stuff, he can be the fourth or fifth starter. It's going to really, for him, it's just going to be trusting your stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what it is for young pitchers. Most of the time, it's trusting your stuff and throwing strikes and believing, especially when you can throw some heat. And he's got a little bit of that, too. I just wonder when Strider comes back, who's that sixth pitcher? Because I still believe that the future, and I will say it until I'm blue in the face, of Major League Baseball is in 10 years, we'll be talking about who's going to be the sixth starter for every team, because yeah. I think six-man rotations are a thing of the future.
Well, I'll say this. Until Ronaldo Lopez's velocity peaks back up, I hope it's him, because I hope that they give him every opportunity to stay rested. I know that he has stated his goals this year are 200 innings pitched, and he wants to be that, you know, that cornerstone piece of the rotation. But I also think that there is a risk out there when you look at Ronaldo Lopez of, oh, I'm not throwing harder. I'm not throwing as hard as I used to. Let me try to give it a little bit more. Let me give it more oomph. Let me, you know, put a little more hook on the curveball or whatever it needs to be. And I think you can back yourself into a corner if that's what you're doing. I think that they hopefully can talk him into coming along and not pressing in terms of his velocity and just, you know, allowing that to kind of build itself back up. Because he's not the first pitcher that's gone through a spring training that's seen a dip in velocity. But I think when that happens, a lot of times you can get into April and May and you're trying to do too much and trying to get the ball to go as hard as you're used to throwing it, and sometimes you can kind of press a little bit.
What's the guy's name from Tampa? Is it Shane McClanahan? He was like Tommy John's. I think he had Tommy John's 2 years ago. He was throwing Saturday or Sunday, throws a pitch and his arm just kind of goes limp. and he walks off the mound. And I have not seen what the reports are for that, but that's the fear. You know, with Tommy, when you've had Tommy John, or you pitch mornings, and you think maybe you're used to. It's just again why I kind of hark on it with. It's the NFL is a copycat league. All sports leagues, to an extent, are copycat leagues. I can't think that teams didn't around the baseball see how the Braves handled Lopez and Sell and say, man, that could work for us and that could keep guys fresh. I mean, hell, go look at what the Dodgers just did. The Dodgers have like 8 starting pitchers. I mean, they're not going to use all of them. so much to the fact.
They probably will at some point, but yes, not off the rip, not in the rotation.
Think about it. So much to the fact that Shohei came out, about 2 weeks ago and said, I'm going to focus just on being a DH right now. And I'm going to slow down I'm not going to ramp up as fast with the pitching part of it. And I still think he'll be. The reason I know that because I looked it up because I was going to try to draft him as a pitcher for my fantasy team.
Yeah.
And because the hitter was already gone, and I had the hitter like the last 3 years, but you can only keep, or 2 years, you only keep a guy so many years. But I looked at it, and that was when I was reading all these stories, and it just came out like a couple of days before my fantasy draft. So I think you could see him eventually ramp it up, maybe mid to late season, but. That's where you're at. I mean, guys are taking more time and they're afraid to get it going. That was why Strider had the brace surgery.
Yeah, real quick, before we get to mic'd up, Drake Baldwin now moves up to, I think he's hitting 280 something throughout spring training. Like I'm not relying on Drake Baldwin as I look out for over the entirety of the brief season, but I am hoping that he gives this offense a little boost to start April. I know that Sean Murphy's probably 3-4 weeks from being back. But if it's 3 weeks, I'm looking forward to seeing what Drake Baldwin's bat is doing in those 3 weeks, because I think he is definitely the man of the future behind the plate.
If his defense and his game calling is good, his pitch framing, all that, and he's hitting, let's say, 275 with a 320 something OBP like on base, which is very important to me, especially for a catcher.
Yeah,
it's going to be very interesting. I know it'll be a small sample size because I think Murphy will be. Here by mid-April.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting how they handle the situation.
All right, so I embarrassed myself Saturday night, or did I? Talked about it yesterday, went over to see our friends at Canoe. If you've ever been there, you know that it's got an incredible aura about it, right? So for my wife and I's 6th anniversary, went to Canoe. My wife has one thing, like when we go out for big date nights that she has to have, and when it's like an anniversary or any kind of dinner along those lines, she has to have oysters. Like, it's one of her favorite things. See, we're both from, the Gulf Coast of Florida. We love fresh oysters. That's one of the things that she said leading into the night. She's like, I want to go somewhere oysters. I knew that Canoe was one of those places that always had really good fresh oysters. All right, there is a select amount of places around town that I am willing to go eat shellfish, and I know that it's fresh, and I know that it'll taste good. Canoe is one of those spots. CNS is one of those spots. A number of, Fontaine's Oyster House, another couple of places around town. But we obviously, romantic anniversary thing going on, we go to Canoe on Saturday night. All right, so I sat down. We had a couple of drinks outside. And the first thing that I knew, the waiter steps up. The first thing I knew we were going to order was oysters. All right, so we sit down. I'm like, hey, man, we'll go ahead and take, a half dozen raw oysters. And, let's just go ahead and get this party started. I knew that the wife would be down with it. Here's what happened. And you guys tell me if I was wrong for this, because I felt a little bit shamed. Wasn't his fault, just part of the establishment. He sits down the oysters. He's like, hey, I'll be right back with your next round of drinks. He comes back, and I say to him, just something that I think almost everybody does in this situation. I said, hey, man, can we get some crackers with the oysters? You know what I mean? A lot of people, saltines, just put the raw oyster on the cracker, a little hot sauce. Yeah, whatever it may be. Dude looks at me and goes, hey, man, we don't have crackers here. He was like, I can bring you a couple pieces of like baked flatbread.
A baguette or something?
Baked flatbread, but we don't have crackers.
Like pita, maybe pita bread?
Right. He ended up, kind of the pita type bread that you can snap. It's a little bit, it's kind of like a cracker. But
yeah.
The crispy. Amount of, look, I've been to almost every nice restaurant in this city. The amount of shame that I felt when this guy rolled out was like straight up.
Hey, man,
he goes, yeah, we don't have crackers here. But I can provide you with an alternative that I think you might like. That's essentially what he said. And I thought, like, I was right. So, like, in that moment, I felt like the guy that asked for ketchup at the steakhouse. Like, I was like, oh my God, I've completely misread the situation. How could I be that guy?
Did they not have soup there? Don't people get crackers with their soup?
I am positive they have soup. But again, maybe it's just an in-house thing. I don't know that I've ever been.
Classy way to have the every time I've had oysters,
right.
And I really don't
throw them on saltines.
But you put it on it, yeah.
You put them on saltines.
And
I'm pretty positive that CNS is the other place we'll go and get oysters. CNS oysters. I'm pretty sure they have saltines there, and it's not like a cheap spot. I just felt like I was that guy that they were looking at, going first timer. You know what I mean? I'm like, I just have never been to a place where I felt like I was on the outs like that.
I don't think that's a big deal. I mean, now if you walked in with a box of saltines in your hand, and
then you
might be the embarrassing guy.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody might call you a hillbilly or something. But
ever asked for something at a restaurant where they were like, "We don't have that"? I can almost recall every single time it's ever happened to me in my entire existence. I asked for sweet tea one time in Miami. Dude was like, "We don't have sweet tea here, dude." Like,
that's not.
Yeah,
I wouldn't feel shame with that.
Yeah, I didn't really in that moment, but I remember it because I was like, I don't know, I was young at the time, and I remember thinking, we're still in the South.
Miami
you'd think
not
sweet tea would be a thing, but this guy looked at me and he's like,
I agree.
Nah,
I 100% agree. Miami is not the South. That is like that is a northern or even a more of like a Latin city than it is anything. That happened to me in Colorado. And
you ordered something they didn't have.
I did the sweet tea thing at Breckenridge when I was like,
You're not gonna get.
Can I have some sweet? This was when I was like 19.
Yeah,
I was like, can I have some sweet tea? And she's like,
what?
We have tea, and there's
I can bring
sugar.
You Splenda.
She's like, there's sugar on the table, and we have tea. And I was like, yeah, I'll just get a Coke. She's like, we have Pepsi. I was like, all right, you know what?
She's like, where are you from?
I'm surprised she didn't call it. We have a whole selection of pop. No, but man, like, I just felt like the guy that ordered, you know, A1, at Howl's or something. It's like, dude, you can't do that. And I just felt like that's not that out of pocket, though. I've been with other people. I remember.
No, it's not.
Do you remember the offensive lineman, Quinn Ojinaka? I guess he was probably here through 2010, 2011. Quinn Ojinaka was another lineman on the Falcons when I was here. I remember one time he ordered ranch at a place, and they're like, yeah, we don't have ranch, man. Just straight up.
That's happened to me a few times.
Sometimes they don't have certain – like, I think I asked for, like – I forgot. You know what? I asked for, like, balsamic vinaigrette or something like that.
Yeah.
I've even been a place where they don't have ranch, too.
Yeah.
You're like, what? How do you not have dressings?
How do you not have ranch dressing? That's, like, the most popular
salads,
one.
You have salads, you know?
I don't think this – I don't think – I'm not trying to poo-poo the story. I don't think this is a big deal because
I'm glad you. Well, it's not poo-poo. Sorry. I'm glad you don't think it's a big deal because at the moment I was embarrassed.
There's no way that you. I don't eat oyster because I can't eat shellfish. But I trust Tiffany, and she says every time she's eating oysters she's. Well, I mean, I don't think you're just lying for Mike's. Account here, but I think you say that, and I've heard other people. I've seen a lot of people eat oysters at a table that I've been at where they put them on crackers. I also don't think a saltine cracker is something that is
low class. Is that
random?
Right here?
Well, a restaurant wouldn't have. I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm not calling out Canoe. I've never been, but I've heard it's a great. I've heard a lot of good things.
And let me just add, the service was phenomenal. The guy couldn't have been nicer. It wasn't his fault.
Okay, that's what I was gonna say. If he had leaned in and whispered, "Hey man,
it wasn't his fault. He didn't make me feel like an outsider."
I
was sitting there going, "Dude, I've been to like every nice restaurant in this city. I don't know if I've ever been to a place that was like, we don't have crackers."
Well, and look how you're treated places means everything. I remember I went to Sparks Steakhouse in New York when the Super Bowl was up there.
Yeah.
And that's a famous steakhouse, right? People have been, you know, big Paul Castellano was murdered outside of it. It's one of the most famous steakhouses in New York. We get into the dinner, and the waiter starts deciding he's going to, like, just rip on me, like, of how I talk. Basically called me a redneck, like, in the middle of the restaurant. And I looked at him, and I was like, dude, your ass is lucky that I'm not paying this tab because you wouldn't get a dime from me.
Oh man.
Yeah, Mike, I agree with the room here. I don't think you should feel any shame. No shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like an outsider.
I appreciate that, guys. Build me back up and maybe I'll go to another nice restaurant at some point in my life.
All right. Well, give us your thoughts if you've ever felt like you didn't belong at a certain establishment for asking for something. Or you could weigh in on this latest on the latest with Kirk Cousins and his potential trade situation. We'll see if that happens. 404-726-0929. Wake up call is at the top of the hour here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.